Welcome to The Shift, a place where real people have real discussions in search of the truth in all the things, inside and outside the modern day church. This podcast is produced and supported by WeGatherPeople.org. You can find us at theshiftpodcast.info or connect with us on your favorite social media platform, also at theshiftpodcast.info. Hey guys, welcome back to The Shift, where today we are going to be deconstructing what woke means. The fact that I laugh when I say that because it's not a normal word for me. And Abby, you've sort of had to school me on it because I'm just like, that's just not a phrase that is in my book. I am not woke, I guess. I don't know. So we're going to be throwing around some words, talk about what that is, but then really talk about what the Lord is saying right now.
We're about to get awoke.
We're going to get awoke. Cha-ching.
That's the title of this message.
There's a good dad joke right there. Awoke. Yeah. So the title of this podcast is going to be awoke. We're going to talk about unity.
Yeah, we're going to talk about unity.
All the things. Being awoke in the culture. And so I just want to jump right off into it. I can't be the only person who we see the word and we hear it talked about, but what in the world does that really mean?
What is being woke?
Yes, what is that word?
So the Oxford Language Dictionary defines woke as being alert to injustice in society, especially racism.
I wonder what the Urban Dictionary.
Yeah, I'll look it up. You keep says doing that
about that, and people are like, "You're looking at the Urban Dictionary?" Yes, I am. I am looking at the Urban Dictionary because that's what other people.
Because it's woke.
Yeah, I'll get up on the definition of it. It's going to be there. So there's some words I'm like, what? What? But people use them out there. And I'm like, what are they saying? Because I do not understand what they're saying.
So this is great. It says, to quote one Urban Dictionary contributor, it's being aware of the truth behind things the man doesn't want you to know.
Ooh, so this has now become it's a political statement.
It's about the man.
The man. Oh, man.
Not the man.
No, pun intended, but wow.
It also says it's the act of being very pretentious about how much you care about a social issue.
Mm. So it's almost cool now.
It's cool. And it's just a word that has many facets. It means many different things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'll probably just jump off the cliff right now on this subject because this stuff fires me up on both sides, and I'm not going to go into a lot of political stuff because, oh goodness, that's like a rabbit hole that I am unequipped for and not, I'm not equipped for that, but it's funny how we can make a lot of noise and say that we're bringing awareness to things. But the reality of it is that we don't need more awareness of things. We need more people to be doing something as much as they're talking. You know, I don't care how much you post on social media about something. What are you doing? If it makes you so mad and it fires you up, you know, and you want to say that you're, what are you really doing on a daily basis? Or are you just trying to like catch the bandwagon, which there's a ton of people and my generation, but even in the younger, like they want to say all the things and bash all this and talk about that, but they are doing nothing.
Yeah.
Zippo.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't care what you have to say. Until I know that you care enough to do something. So all of these words, even like a woke culture that want justice, 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 but are you willing to get, you know, your hands dirty and get in the mud and work for a solution? Or are you just going to be angry and make signs and yell at people?
Right. What does justice look like?
Yeah. What is justice?
What is justice going to look like on some of the social justice issues? So we have a lot of angry things and people yelling and spewing things, but we have no idea what some people want. I have no idea what people want. they just have comments about things on both sides of the aisle, right? And to the point where we just shut other people out, and we have accepted a thing called cancel culture, right? Mm. Cancel culture is gross too. It just means that you're going to pretend like that person doesn't even exist, or their opinion doesn't, you know, you're just going to shut them completely out of society. Every bit of what we have just talked about is an antichrist nature.
Yeah.
The Lord is about inclusion and love and family and, you know, being together. And so actually that's what we wanted to talk about today was, unity. We were in California back in April, I believe it was. And the Lord gave me, it's kind of crazy. The Lord, we were doing a worship session with people from all over the world. Literally, there were people from all over the world there, in a private home setting. And the Lord spoke to me very clearly. And, something that Megan often sings, a word the Lord brings forth in her, she'll say, I hear the sound. It's not a song, it's a sound.
Yeah.
Okay. And she began to sing that. And the Lord said, the sound is unity. The new sound is unity. Mm. And so, that in and of itself proves to me that anything that's divisive and anything that is pushing people apart, is going against Christ. It's an antichrist nature. Yeah.
That's really good. Like if you just have justice, you get woke instead of a kingdom perspective, which is mercy.
Absolutely.
You can't have, if you're going to walk in a kingdom justice, then you have to walk in mercy as well, because they are counterparts. They go together and they temper this fiery passion with the love and the nature of God.
Absolutely.
But the problem is, you know, I don't expect anything from people that haven't encountered Jesus, and they haven't been reborn. Like, I don't expect that. However, I do expect that within the community of my brothers and my sisters. And so here we are, like, we got to like peel it back, and we can't even talk. We're not even talking about accessing and reaching people that have not encountered the love of God yet. This cancel culture, I've actually encountered it within the church, a place that I've ministered and pastored at.
It's all too common.
Oh my goodness. And it should not be. And so I'm just like, why do we, that stuff is within the body of Jesus. Like, what are we doing? And what are some answers?
Absolutely. So, I think it's super important to mention that forgiveness is key.
Oh yeah.
Forgiveness and, release and repentance and change are a massive part of what we're dealing with, in any issue where offense and wounding has happened.
Yes.
You know, I am a 38-year-old Caucasian female. And so I can't speak from the, you know, from the shoes of someone else that's any different than I am. I can't just come in and start to speak up for other people, but I can come and I can speak from, I wasn't going to go this direction, but I feel like the Lord's telling me to do it. What I can come from the direction of is, what forgiveness has done in my own life. So, Megan and I wrote a book not too long ago, and we gave our testimonies. And one of the major portions of my testimony is that when I was a brand new single mom, I had dated a gentleman, and I'll call him a gentleman because I'm just going to speak that into life. But I had dated a gentleman who, you know, and the long short of it is he entered my home and he took advantage of my body. He raped me at my house. And a year later, the Lord spoke to me and he said, you need to write a letter of forgiveness to this person, but you also need to write a letter asking for his forgiveness as well. And so that's the very skinny, short version of what had happened. But the Lord made me sit down and write. He had contacted me. He went to jail for something else. So I had no vindication on my part. He had screwed up his own life, and, you know, at that point in time, and had gone to jail for something other than the offense against me. So I had nobody that had, I had no vindication on my part. Okay. Mm-hmm. It was just like the natural sequence of events for that. But the Lord had told me, he said, you need to ask for forgiveness and you need to give forgiveness. And it was very painful for me to sit down and do that. But the moment that I put the last dot on the page, when I had written what the Lord had asked me to do, and the minute I signed it, I had such a release on me. And funny enough, the good part of the story is that the same night that I was asking and telling, the forgiveness component of this, I actually wrote a letter to the Marine who was deployed, who would later become my husband.
Oh, wow.
So there was such a redemptive, just peace in me being obedient to the Lord to offer forgiveness and, request that also. So part of being awoke for me, I can't even say woke anymore. I'm going to be awoke. The Lord woke me up from offense. The Lord woke me up from being so frustrated in a situation that the world would tell me I had every right to be upset and frustrated about. He took me out of that thing and removed the offense. It doesn't mean I don't have normal feelings. I don't get frustrated with people. I don't, have to talk stuff out with friends or whatever,
I walk through things that have happened in our lives.
I walk through all the stuff, all the things. I'm still human. However, in that act, the Lord released something supernaturally to me, I believe, to be able to walk out peace and being an objective individual, and really kind of awakened the calling on my life to be sort of a supernatural or spiritual judge and discerner.
Yeah.
So
that's really good. And so what comes to mind is the mercy side of it, which, we think grace is that thing that comes over us that, lets us do whatever we want to, but really what we don't talk about mercy enough.
Yeah.
And we want it so much, but yet we're so quick to withhold it.
Yeah. And we're slow to give it out.
Yeah. And really his mercy is like, hey, please don't give me what I deserve.
Absolutely.
Like, please don't give me. So now let's look at this thing in the midst of a woke culture and a cancel culture and talk about what God is actually saying and what he's wanting from his church. And it is unity, and it is the new sound.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny how, like, I've been trying to wrap my head around, like, okay, it's a new sound because words created our world.
Mm-hmm.
And they're still creating things. And if unity is the new sound, then there's something in each of us when we come together and we decide that we're going to humbly, how about we just do this? I'm going to pause that thought real quick and I'm going to read two scriptures, because then we can go back and forth in this. Let's just hear what the Bible says. So, okay, I'm reading out of the Passion Translation.
That's my favorite.
I can't imagine you hopping on here after seeing like our graphics of like the astronaut and stuff and thinking that I'm going to read out of the King James Version.
Yeah, probably not going to happen.
It's going to be a little disappointing. But Psalm 133 says, it's a tiny little chapter, and it says, how truly wonderful and delightful it is to see brothers and sisters living together in sweet unity. And it's as precious as the sacred scented oil flowing from the head of the high priest Aaron, dripping down upon his beard and running all the way down to the hem of his priestly robes. Now, I just want to pause here because I know this is Old Testament, and But let's just, like you say, if this were his dream, what would it mean? Okay, so what does this look like as we're on the redemptive side of this? If I'm talking to you, like, you've encountered Jesus and now you're a follower of Jesus. How wonderful it is from brothers and sisters living together in sweet unity. It's as precious as the sacred scented oil flowing from the head of the high priest of Aaron. Okay, so Aaron's no longer the high priest. Jesus
is the high priest.
Is the high priest.
Ooh, I have something fun to add to this. Oh. When you okay. So so I just read this the other day and it was coming to me before you even read the scripture, so it's kind of funny. I wondered if the Lord was going to bring this up. So if we read about the you know, where it says that he anoints my head with oil, which is the same thing we're talking about with Aaron right now, right?
Yes.
We're talking about his head being anointed with oil and it drips down over his face. There's a thing on Facebook. I know that's kind of taboo. I learned from the University of Facebook on this one. But there is a little blurb on Facebook that's going around that like really hit me, and I'd screenshot it and I saved it. And anyway, it talks about how the shepherd would anoint the head of his sheep. And the reason he anointed the head of his sheep is because they have stuff that would, like, their wool would get them. If they got stuck in, like a tree or a bush or something, they would get stuck inside of it. And until he could come and free them, they would be attacked by flies and maggots and all the weird things in their eyes and in their ears and in their mouth and in their nostrils. And so all their senses would begin to be kind of plugged up and messed up, and they wouldn't, you know, they would start to panic. And I think we all do that. Okay. So we get hit by the things of the earth and the stuff. Whenever we get stuck in something, or we get stagnant, or we get caught up in something,
and those are our senses connect with this natural world.
Absolutely. So what the shepherd would be to anoint the sheep's head with oil, and it would keep, it was a special blend of oils and herbs and things that would keep those critters, because I'm here in Texas, it would keep those creatures from getting in, from all the stuff from getting in and actually annoying them until they would wound themselves. And some would even get loose and have those things still living in them, and they would go and they would die. They would bang their head on a rock until they died trying to get freedom. We do this all the time in our lives. This is what we walk out. This is what I think being woke does to us sometimes. We listen to all the junk of the world.
We look at it all.
Yep. We see it. We taste it.
Touching it.
Yep. We do not allow the Lord to anoint our heads with oil. And so, again, that's the thing. And that's why it's super important for us to spend time with the shepherd.
Yes.
Spend time with the Lord. So, sorry about Aaron's beard.
No, I love it. Like, you know, I'm the musician, so I'm like, oh yeah, we wrote a song, you know, this, a Psalm 23.
It's about maggots and sheep.
No, yeah, oh. We should probably write that song. that, you know, he anoints my head with oil, and which is Psalm 23. But then I love it because I just wrote a song called Alabaster Jar.
Yes. And whole new perspective on all of it.
Oh yeah, it's a little interesting. The person I wrote with, he was like, wait a minute, we're not talking about the same thing. I'm like, oh yeah, we're talking about the same experience.
Yeah.
I'm like, it's funny how we just get these preconceived notions because we've heard it so long and we just skim over it and we don't look at the details of that she came and she broke the jar, poured it over Jesus's head at the table.
Yeah.
So like there's Psalm 23, like this reverse thing that's happening.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's doing all this stuff so we have life, and she's doing all the same things to Jesus so that we would have life.
Yeah.
And
why would they prepare the body for burial?
Yeah.
With oil.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what's going on. They're preparing Jesus' body for death and burial. So why would they do that? That's would do that so to keep all of the bugs and the smell and the things away as much as possible.
And that's what unity does.
Yes.
It produces oil.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. It's hard because to produce oil, you have to crush.
Oh, yeah. It's not easy.
You have to crush and filter. And for all the things, you just get a little bit of oil. So it takes like a lot for that to happen. And so I love it, like, just the first two lines of, you know, it's as precious, unity is as precious as the sacred oil flowing from the head. And it says scented oil.
Mm-hmm.
It It has a smell to it,
yeah.
Dripping down upon the beard and running all the way down to the hem of his priestly robes, and which is us. So Jesus is Aaron, like we're the body, unity, what it does, it blesses Jesus. It's this continual, the spirit just is pouring out over Jesus and us continually when we dwell together in unity.
And that's a lot of oil.
That's a lot.
To go from the top of a man's head to
that's a lot of oil.
The bottom of his gown. Yeah. That's a lot of oil.
I know. And it goes on. There's another verse, and it's about the mountain where he dwells. He dwells in the presence of unity, where his harmony can be compared to the dew dripping from Mount Hermon, which flows down from the hills of Zion. Indeed, that is where Yahweh has decreed his blessings will be found, the promise of life forevermore. So eternal life is found in unity.
Oh, yeah.
Eternal life. So what is eternal life? So in John, eternal life says that Jesus says it. Jesus says, this is eternal life, that you would know me and that you would know the Father.
Mm-hmm.
We think eternal life is living forever. It's to know Jesus as the Son, the Brother, the Intercessor, the Savior, the Master, and to know the Father the same way Jesus knew his Father, which was Creator, Comforter, but Discipler, Discipliner, like
Provider.
All, yeah, the one who brought us into family, all that kind of stuff, that is like, that's eternal life. So it dew is the sweetest, softest way to bring nutrients and the perfect amount of water to a plant. So dew sets there and it slowly, it's not like the rain that comes down hard. It just settles on it. And the grass and the leaves and the trees, they absorb it as sweetly as they can before the sun comes up and burns it off. But if it's cool, like the cool of the day, which we get to walk in because of rest, which we need to talk about that.
Yeah.
Like we can live in, if we live in rest and unity with our brethren, we will be like, we'll be like a beautiful, like what it reminds me of is when you go up like the Oregon and Washington coast and there's like ferns and things are growing on everything and
moss everywhere.
It just, everything is growing and. But they're so delicate.
Yes.
They're not like these big, hard, like we're in Texas, so everything has to be really hard, really prickly, you know, able to stand with anything. But something happens when we are in unity and we get oil and we get the dew and it blesses us and makes us fruitful and supple.
Yeah.
But so anyways, so this is what I feel like is that culture. But one last scripture, and then we can sort of talk through, because I never just want to give my opinion, but this is Ephesians 4, and it says, it's Paul, as a prisoner of the Lord, I plead with you to walk holy in a way that is suitable to your high rank given to you in your divine calling. So he's talking to, you know, people who are followers of Jesus with tender humility and quiet patience, always demonstrate gentleness and generous, which I looked up that word, and it was like stretching. With tender humility, quiet patience, always demonstrate gentleness and stretching love toward one another, especially toward those who may try your patience. Be faithful to guard the sweet harm. This is what's key. Be faithful to guard the sweet harmony of the Holy Spirit among you in the bonds of peace. Being one body and one spirit, as you were all called into the same glorious hope of divine destiny. We are not talking about ecumenical peace, which is an external peace.
Right.
Like, what do you want? I tell my kids for Christmas, they're like, what do you want? I'm like, world peace, which it's just dumb, you know, it's miscongeniality. But
it's a beautiful concept.
Yeah. However,
however,
that's not what he's talking about.
Right.
He's talking about a bond of peace that comes through something that only the Spirit of God can make happen.
It's been tried and tested, and mm-hmm. and it's true. And yes. the Holy Spirit lands on a person who has been through
things. And that's the oil again. Well, so here's like the Spirit is here, the like the sweet harmony. We could even say, be faithful to guard the sweet harmony of the oil mm-hmm. among you.
Yeah.
It's not even about us. You're going, oh, okay, what about the oil? But we don't even think about that when we're in the middle of things.
Yeah.
We never think about the oil. We think about ourselves.
Yep. That's true.
Like, we think about ourselves, but it's like, oh, no, I don't know. We need the oil. We need the dew.
Mm-hmm.
And so it says, for the Lord God is one, and so are we. For we share in one faith, one baptism, and one Father, and He is the perfect Father who leads us all, works through us all, and lives in us all. And so here is so what's the answer? The answer is to guard the oil.
Unity is how we stay woke.
Yeah, and it's the sound. It is a new sound. We all have this frequency in us, and when we come mm-hmm. together, it creates something, a sound. And it's released into the earth, just as the Holy Spirit, when He hovered over the water and God spoke, and then the earth was formed.
Yeah,
because begin the process.
The concept of unity is not, it's not full, it's not whole without you, without the person, without each and every one of us. The concept of unity is not whole. So if we are all like pieces of a puzzle and one of us is out of it, then it's not there. It's not complete.
Yeah. I mean, I have to look at, okay, sure, I may have convictions about certain things in my life, and you may have different convictions, and we can come together. But if it gets a little heated, we can say, wait a minute, what about the oil?
Yeah.
Is this something that is a non-negotiable because we have different ideas on the oil, which is, you know, like the third part of the Trinity.
Mm-hmm.
And in most of the cases, it's not.
Yeah.
And we get offended and we won't listen to one another. And it doesn't mean that we can't walk through the hard things, but if we stay there and know that if we are more concerned about the unity of Spirit, which is the Holy Spirit, then we're going to, like, we'll stick it out and God will navigate us through that. But that is the justice and the mercy side of it. And so my question to myself right now, where's the places in my life that I can do better? It doesn't mean let everybody do
mm-hmm.
everything, because I'm called to steward something, and right. there's like oil in that place. It doesn't mean forget you if you don't like it, but it's like, hey, I want to bring you in, but I want to show you why this is God's asked us and called us to this thing and to do these things. And because there's oil here, and there's a part of you that is, it creates this sound within. And this is like micro and macro, like micro bodies and then the macro body of Christ. But like what? So my question to you is, where is a place right now with somebody that you've now become so concerned with you being right instead of protecting the unity of Spirit that commands the blessing?
That's right.
It draws attention.
It draws oil.
To an everlasting, like, eternal life, which is to know Jesus, which is an intimate relationship. It's fruitful. And so where is that place? Like, where are those places? I'm thinking in my head right now, there's places within my marriage, within my children, within my friendships, within my ministry, with, you know, my all the places that I could shift, and I need to continually keep my eyes focused on that, the Spirit of God. Hey, we're here because, like, of the oil. We need to, the bonds of peace, and it is, it's like we make peace to protect the oil,
which protects us
and makes us fruitful and keeps us out of harm's way.
Yeah, absolutely. Keeps all the junk out. I think we're having church.
I think we are. So I think we're got a little bit more awoke.
I feel awoke.
I feel that's way awoke. That's going to be our new name for Unity. Awoke.
I'm so awoke.
We need to do a spoken word with like these two scriptures. No, we don't.
And sheep and maggots.
Oh yeah, with sheep and maggots. And
Lord, you protect me. It's gonna like be a sheep from maggots.
It's gonna be a big hit.
It's gonna be great. You guys are gonna sing it on Sunday morning at church.
Oh no.
Probably not.
So it's not unity, like you gotta look like me, act like me,
yes,
do everything, believe. Nope, there's one thing.
Here's another place where I know we talked about in the last one, or maybe we didn't. We should have talked about it. Being the age of Aquarius and the releasing of the sound on the earth, that the song The Age of Aquarius had come out. If we didn't say that before, I apologize. And here's the plug for it now, because here's another place for another great song from not too long ago by a sweet woman named Queen Latifah. UNITY.
We're going to have music spoofs the whole time because we're
get ready.
We're music people. So, man, you want to close us up, pray us out, whatever? I don't
sure.
know. Is that okay? Do you want to keep going?
Oh, I'll pray us out. We can hit this anytime. We can get awoke every time if you yeah. want. I don't care because I love oil and I love all y'all.
And I love Jesus.
I love Jesus and he loves me. So with that, Jesus, we love you.
Yeah. Mm.
We thank you for being the good shepherd. We thank you for anointing our heads with oil, for preparing us to not rot and die, yeah. right? Or even to our death, in our death. When we die to self, you protect us, and you protect us from the wickedness that would try to come and destroy us and cause a mm-hmm. premature death. So we thank you for oil.
Yes.
We thank you for our awokeness. We thank you, Lord Jesus. You're so beautiful. All right. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Yeah. See y'all next time.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us here at The Shift. If this podcast encouraged you or you have questions, please connect with us at theshiftpodcast.info. Make the shift.